to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to the second half of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows, having a really heartfelt conversation right now about being beyond the heart. Has following your heart been a bad decision for you when it comes to your relationship? We're talking about the difference between when it's your heart and when God puts something in your heart to do. So we're welcoming your phone calls and your questions at 855-454-5905. We have Sheila on the line from the First State, Delaware. Good morning, Sheila. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm great. Praise God. Basically, my situation is like a really hard one. I mean, no, I don't believe that we should follow a heart and unless it aligns up with the word of God and the will of God.
Amen.
However, I had married a man that was a handyman, but a friend of a brother-in-law. And basically, he was giving me a ride one day, and the Spirit said to me, this is who you're going to marry.
Okay.
So every time I prayed about it, because, you know, the Bible said we should test and try Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So I prayed three different times, and three different times the Spirit said, no, no, no. But by this time, I had gotten involved with the guy. He started to do things for me, like the wine and the dine me,
mm-hmm.
and all that. At the time, I had a daughter, and, you know, he paid for my daughter to go to private school while his daughter went to public school. He paid for my bills. He fixed things in my house. He gave me money, open and closed door for me. I mean, he was just Mr. Wonderful.
And Sheila, really quickly, when the Spirit kept saying no to you, what was it that God was saying?
He was no. Don't,
yeah, but how? Like,
don't
what? Marry what this yeah, like, man. Don't, like, or, like, beware or turn around or.
This is what I did. You know, the fleece prayer, what you get in the Bible.
Yes.
I did that. I took this fleece outside of my apartment, and I laid it on the ground.
Oh, so you literally fleeced it. Okay.
This is your will, the fleece prayer in Gideon, or with Gideon. So I did that. And each time, the Lord said, no, mm-hmm. no, no. Well, in the course of the marriage, everything flip-flopped, with the exception of paying the bills and taking care of my daughter.
Okay.
This man would start an argument with me, put on music, love music, get a shower, and go out. Mm. I mean, the money stopped. I mean, to where I didn't even have enough money to buy barrettes for my daughter's hair. You know, the only place I could shop was the Goodwill.
Wow.
You know, but my mother, before the marriage, my mother spoke out against the relationship. My pastor said in his face, Sheila, do not marry this man. Like I said, friends spoke out and everything. But the Lord blessed because, I mean, it changed me as a Christian to the point where I was homicidal. This man slapped me in my face, and that night I had determined that I was going to, you know what. I don't want to say it on the radio.
Okay.
But, you know, it was at that point where my mother's voice registered in my mind. The pastor, my friend, you know, my sister, you know, it kind of like brought me out. We got into a situation. I threatened to divorce him, and he divorced me. But what happened was, like, before that, I start to get quiet because I'm not one that stays in a bad situation,
sure,
especially not with my children. And so I start to get quiet and read the word, you know, all about divorce and marriage and remarriage and just the whole thing. And at that point, I believe that as a believer, he had to divorce me. I couldn't get out of it. He had to do it. Well, when I threatened divorce, he had money. I didn't have a job. That was a part of, you know, our marriage plan, that I would take care of the children.
I hear you. Now, Sheila, really quickly, because I mean, interesting to say the least, and I think definitely eye-opening. I'm sure there are some women out there hearing this, and maybe some men too, and they're ignoring God's clear direction or when he says no. You know, we don't like no, especially
I know,
when our hearts get set in something. I mean, we just don't like no.
Yeah, right.
But
right.
No can be really good. And sometimes,
yeah, it was good.
Think about it. When God says no, that doesn't mean no for everything. That means maybe I have something better for you. A lot of times, mm-hmm. is I have something better for you. And if we give it time, we get to see that. Now, so Sheila, what would be the biggest advice you would give to someone in your shoes back then when God is making it clear, they're ignoring the signs? What would you say?
I would say, listen, because even the children that was in, you know, like I said, I had a daughter, my niece and my nephew, they didn't care for him. Today, if I notice a adverse
yeah.
reaction from the children in my life, I pay attention to that.
I always think that children.
These are the people that may help you make a decision. Let your pastor, your parents, your friends, let them see who this person is early on. So that they can help you make a decision.
And Sheila, I have this firm conviction. This is just my conviction. There's nowhere in the scriptures that I've seen this, but I believe it, that young children are able to see some things that we can't. And you know, like, you know, the little baby 6-month-old that cries every time someone mm-hmm. holds them is like, well, what is it? You know? And usually you go back and it's like, maybe they just felt a vibe or something. That
yeah,
they're able to yeah. see that we can't. And mm-hmm. at the end of the story, I mean, God made it clear, right? And he took care of it. But you yeah. could have avoided so much grief. The outward signs were there, though. He seemed like such a good man. But the Bible talks about, you know, sheep, wolves in sheep's clothing. I mean, that's what he sounds like, right?
The thing that hurt Marcus is that a lot of women, and I'm going to say men too, but because I'm a woman, I'm going to say on the woman's side of it. Mm-hmm. A lot of us was not raised with our father, so we have a deficit
yes.
for daddy. So the devil can get in there and take advantage. You know, it's funny how we can be so lopsided in our development. We can do well on a job. We can do well with our children, you know. And yet, you know, you go home and you meet husband. And, you know, he don't want no parts of God. Not a companion in a relationship, just horrible.
But Sheila, but let me, you know, it's interesting. This is when following the heart becomes, you know, dangerous.
Yeah.
Anything yes. major you do, right? Now, obviously, who you marry is probably one of the biggest decisions you'll ever make.
Yes,
but there are
exactly.
other big decisions, right? Like, you know, you buy a car, you buy a house. I mean, we're scary. And you know what? You can make a bad mistake and a bad choice when you do something major. But the Bible says with many advisors, victory is certain, meaning that you just get a lot of input. It doesn't mean you listen to everything everyone tells you.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, for example, you can't think, okay, well, my situation is unique. It's like, no, you should be nervous, scared, and at the same time, proceed with a lot of caution. And I tell you, you say it now, but a big red flag was how he wasn't really taking care of his own daughter the way he was willing to take care of yours. To me,
exactly.
that's a huge sign. It's like, hey, thank you, but hold on a second.
But
why
you know,
are you
the,
doing
the
this?
The thing about that, Marcos, is that this woman that he had that child by, mm-hmm. he was with her for like 10 or 12 years or so. And this woman used to say to me, he's not giving all that up. He's only been with you not even a year.
Mm.
There's no way he's going to give all that. But he did.
Yeah, but you know
he
what?
He met and married me within 1 year.
But obviously she didn't even know him. Because it sounds like he was probably one way, and then his heart got really hard, and he started going in a different direction.
Well, see, but, she was giving him everything. Mm. Why would he marry her if she was giving him everything?
I got you. Well, Sheila, thank you. We got to continue on with some of our other callers, but amazing story. I'm so grateful God worked it out, but it's a lesson learned, and I hope and pray that mm-hmm. others would heed warning to what you just shared.
And I just want to leave one scripture.
Sure, please.
Ezra chapter 9 and chapter 10. It says basically when we have married outside of the faith, whether unknowingly or knowingly, the Lord provided the way out. We are to divorce those people and get back with God, according to Ezra chapter 9 and 10.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much, Sheila.
Sure,
we really appreciate it.
Have a great day and
you
happy Sabbath.
Right,
thank you.
Too.
Have a blessed day.
Bye-bye. Let's go to, do we have time to go to our next caller or should we take...
You know what? Let's introduce our next caller, and then we're going to have to take a brief break.
Yeah, we are going to have to take a break. So we have Juan calling in from Philadelphia. Juan, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
God bless you.
I have a problem because I've been with my wife for 12 years, and we separated 6 months, and I'm trying to get back with her, you know, and I'm trying to teach her that I did wrong, and apologize for every mistake that I've done, but she don't seem to want to accept that. I don't know why.
So were you unfaithful to her?
Not really, but I say beautiful things to other women and stuff like that, and that's what caused.
Okay, so you started flirting with other women. Why?
Well, in other words, more or less, I say beautiful things to them, but at the end of the day, that was it. I go back to my wife. You know what I mean?
Because. But why would you say, Juan, why are you saying these things to other women if you're a married man?
I know, and I regret that. You know, I just was trying to make people feel good, you know, and I feel bad for that, you know. And I apologize to my wife and to everyone that I've hurt, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously your wife is having a hard time wanting to reconcile because she doesn't trust you. And why should she? Now, how did she know that you were going behind her back and talking?
Because one day I was on the phone and she heard the conversation, right? Mm. And she believed that me and this woman had something, but we did not. And I keep telling her that, and she don't want to understand.
It's hard to believe. I'm sitting here thinking, you're right. Like, it's hard to believe. So why would you say something to someone and you're not... It's not going any further. Like, I think it just sounds like your intention.
Yes, I'm not because I have my wife.
But what if one of these women, you know, younger woman comes and says, well, Juan, I appreciate what you said. I want to get with you.
Okay.
You going to say no?
Yes, I would have told them the same thing. They know I'm married, you know?
And then, like, well, you confuse me because you're saying all these, you know, sweet nothings in my ear, and then you don't want anything? I mean, it just sounds very conflicting.
No.
Come on, Juan. Let's get honest. Let's talk about your. Let's take a quick. Yeah, we're gonna take a quick break. Mm-hmm. Well, Juan, take a quick break. I'm gonna share a story with you, and it's a scriptural story. When we come right back, so please hold.
All right. So Juan, don't touch that dial. But hey, if you're not yet in the queue, if you're not on the call yet, feel free to reach out to us at 855-454-5905. Stay close. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues with more conversation after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We're in the final segment of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We invite you to give us a call if you have some questions about your relationship as far as following your heart. 855-454-5905 is how you can reach us. We were in the middle of a conversation with Juan. We're going to rejoin that conversation now. Juan, are you there?
Hello, Juan?
Oh, we're going to get Juan back on the line. Hi, Juan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good. Thank you for your patience there. So if you're just tuning in, we were having a conversation with Juan about the fact that he messed up. He was talking to other women. He said he didn't have any ill intentions, but he was saying things that were inappropriate. His wife heard it. She doesn't want to have anything to do with him now after 12 years. So you're having a hard time, Juan, convincing your wife that
that
you're sorry, that you'll never do this again.
I already told her I want to start new, everything new.
You want to press the reset button. You want to start over. I'm going to share a scripture with you. I mentioned this before the break that I will share this with you. So here, and I'll share a little story with it, but in Proverbs 26... Verse 18, it says, Proverbs 26:18 says, like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is someone who deceives their neighbor and says, I was only joking. You know, it's a pretty dangerous game you were playing, my brother. I mean, you're talking to these women, saying things, and you got caught. So what happens, and this is the part that is going to be hard for you to convince your wife, if you were not, if she didn't catch you, would you have kept going?
The question is, maybe, who knows? God is the only one that knows that, but...
Can you please turn your radio completely off? We're getting feedback because you there's a slight delay.
Yes. Maybe, who knows? You know, maybe, I don't know. I cannot say that I won't, that I will, because Peter did that when Jesus said, you will deny me And Peter said, no, not me, not me. Remember that?
Sure. Three times.
So I cannot be like Peter and say, not me, not me, because I don't know. I really don't know. I'm being honest with you.
Okay,
but
so
I'm glad that she did, because it made me realize how special she is to me. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. You know, earlier in the show, I shared the scripture on 2 Corinthians 7. I want to encourage you, study this out. Make sure you have the right kind of sorrow, that you have godly sorrow and not worldly sorrow. And I tell you this much, if you're changed, number one, that's pleasing to God. Number two, I believe, you know, if your wife still loves you, she'll see that change. But you can't expect her to just jump right back at saying, okay, I'm going to trust you, everything's okay, because she's really hurt.
Yes, she is. But the problem is that I want everything straight. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to, because we've been living together for 12 years. She's a Christian. I want to marry her.
Wait a minute. So you're not even
I
married?
I want everything straight.
So why
you know
what I'm saying? So you're a Christian, but you didn't marry her. Why would you live with someone you're not married to, my brother?
Yeah, we lived together for 12 years, and I wanted to marry. That's what I want, marriage.
So you now you want to do this the right way.
The right way, yes, the right way.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The right way.
Okay, well, listen, this is what I'm going to encourage you on. Stay on the line. Talk to my producer, Larry. I would love to have some more conversation with you off the air and even offering you, and if she's willing to get together, offer you some premarital counseling so we can deal with this.
Well, I can give you the number and you can call.
No, don't give the number on the air. Don't give it on the air because we're live.
No.
So just talk to Larry. Talk to Larry. And we'll just have this conversation off the air, okay? Trust me, you don't want your number all out there and then people start calling you. You don't want that. All right, my brother. Thank you for your call. Hold on 1 second, okay?
Okay, God bless you.
All right, you too.
All right, God bless you as well. And we are going to go to Felicia calling in from the Pennsylvania area, rather. Sorry about that. Felicia, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
How are everybody?
We're doing great. Thank you so much for calling us. You're calling from the Pennsylvania area, correct? Okay, great. Well, what is your comment or question for us today?
Well, I have a sort of a story, some advice I may need. I've been dating a guy for 2 years. Let me just start off by saying I am married still legally, but I haven't been with my husband for 4 years.
You're separated from your husband, but you're not yet divorced.
Right, and I honestly don't know how to go about it because I can't find him. Don't know where he is.
Have you talked to an attorney?
No, I've asked someone to help me with that, but I haven't even gone through that. That's a different story.
Wow. Okay.
But I've been dating since then, and I've been dating this one guy for 2 years now. And yes, we have been intimate.
Okay.
But lately, you know, I've been trying to strengthen my walk with God. I've been reading the Bible, and let me tell you, reading the Bible really changes you. And I become more aware of certain things, and you know, I've asked God, like, if this man is not for me, to like take it from me.
Mm-hmm.
Lately, you know, we've been struggling with intimacy, not so much as sex. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about like just the kiss.
Just connection, affection. Okay.
Right, and he, you know, he tells me he's not an affectionate person. Oh, I don't want to be up on you 24/7. I said, that's not what I'm talking about. Just a simple hand hug and just a simple hug or a kiss throughout the day is satisfying for me. So finally, we're dealing with a long distance relationship. He lives in New York and I live in Pennsylvania. So therefore, you know, we have that distance in between us. So you would think that when we get together, it would be like brand new again.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, it's not. And lately, last week, when he came to visit me, I said, you know, I couldn't deal with the no intimacy. That's mainly the reason why I left my husband, no affection. So, so this brings me back to a place where I think that he, maybe in New York, he's cheating or, you know, no affection. But now that, you know, since we've broken up, I have no contact and, you know, I try to move on with my life and, you know, stay spiritual and, you know, stick to my guns and...
Well, Felicia, let me ask you a question. Please don't be offended by it, and I just want to hear this directly from you. How important is your relationship with God?
It's very important. That's why I say I'm just starting, and now that, like, even now, even though I've broken up with this guy, and now someone else is, you know, trying to date me, right off the bat, I tell him, listen, I'm trying to do this the right way, and I don't want I don't want to go there.
All right. So Felicia, I'm going to break something down to you a little bit, and please listen to it. And even after we hang up the phone, like, just pray on this and meditate on this, okay? Mm-hmm. You have this, I would say, track record, you know, with your previous husband your husband, because he's still married, in this relationship. But you know, one thing the good thing that you've seen with this is you know what you need. This is an emotional need you have. Not all women are like that. Not all women care about affection as much. Most do, but not all of them. But for you, you know, okay, affection is very important. Out of all your emotional needs, affection is probably right at the top. And these men have not been given this to you. God is trying to offer you something more than any person can offer. And he's also giving you the guidance of the scriptures. So the fact that you're still married, in the eyes of God, scripturally, you're not free to go and date and do anything because you're still married. I mean, it's still a marriage. Now, until there's a divorce, that changes everything. But right now, and what concerns me is you left your husband for this reason, but was he unfaithful to you?
Yeah, he was. He was unfaithful many times.
Okay, so you left him. You really left him because he was unfaithful, but then on top of that, there was a reason why he was pulling away from you, is because he was not committed to the relationship. Okay, so now I'm just gonna assume that this will go through your mind, or if it hasn't, you know, if it does ever, you know, feeling like, well, this is not fair because, you know, I'm technically married, but really there's no way to find this guy, and so God knows my heart. But it's like, do you believe God is powerful enough that he can take care of the situation? And when he feels like it's appropriate and there's time, is the right time, he will grant you and make sure that door opens so you can be free to pursue another relationship. Until you do that, realize that God, yeah, the devil works, but God also allows him to. And right now you're exactly where God wants you. Still married, so that you can focus on you and not on any other relationship.
That's eye-opening. That's really eye-opening. I never thought of it like that.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I have to pursue getting the divorce.
And you know what? In Matthew 19, just to give you a few references, Matthew 19:7 and Mark 10:4, you know, it talks about that certificate of divorce. So it's not just a piece of paper. It really, you know what it'll say, Felicia? The next time, once you're divorced, it says when you're dating someone, hey, I'm available. And if it leads to marriage the way, you know, what you're hoping God would lead you to, you're able to get married. Right now, even if you found the man of your dreams and he's perfect, he can't even marry you because you're not available.
Right.
You understand? So that step is so important. And I would say, listen, what might seem like a curse may be a blessing. It might be an opportunity to work on you and strengthen your relationship with God, your convictions. And then you'll be ready to be that wife that prayerfully someone out there is praying for, a woman that loves God. And you would be that woman.
Wow.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your advice. I really needed that.
Amen.
I kind of put the divorce thing in the back of my mind, figuring, oh, I can move on. He's moved on with his life, you know.
No, you got to take care
really
of that.
You do need to take care of that.
You do. You really do. All right, well, Felicia, we thank you so much. Call us back, you know, give us an update as time goes on.
All right, thank you.
God bless.
Thanks for calling. All right, let's go to Crystal, calling in from the Philadelphia area. Crystal, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are y'all today?
No, we're doing awesome. Thank you. What is your comment or question for us, Crystal?
Okay, I was married for 10 years. My husband hit me with a divorce while I was unemployed for 6 months. During the 3 years after we got married, he had an affair. I found out that during the process of fighting him for support, I found out that he lied about his company buying him a car every 3 years. So he stole from the marriage, he cheated in the marriage, and then he lied about how he was supposed to be supporting his first wife for the rest of her life.
Wow.
So he hit me with this divorce. All this stuff came out, and I had bought a house prior to marrying him. I moved him in my house. He was living in a boarding house, driving an old car, bad credit, and I helped build him up to the man he is, the person. I don't want to say man because you can't. But anyhow, I built him up to the image he holds today, and this is how he did me. He just hit me with a divorce while I was unemployed.
Mm.
I sold the house. Now I moved, he moved. And right now, I'm just bitter and I'm angry, you know, of how he did things. I did rededicate myself back in church.
Amen.
Yes. I feel great about that. You know, I'm taking new member class to stay in church. He was a Jehovah's Witness, excommunicated. So, you know, it was just a whole thing of, like I say, how he did me at the end. And now he can't even speak to me. All he can do is text me, and I refuse to communicate that way. I just want to know how I can get past that anger and the bitter, because I want to hurt his reputation. I want to, you know, do things, and I know it's ungodly, but I need to get these things out of my heart so they can stop popping in my head.
Okay. Well, number one, thank you, Crystal. You're definitely on your way to getting healed, but you're hurting a lot. And,
yes,
you know, when you're hurting, it's easy to want to hurt others and want them to taste their own medicine. But really, I'm sure you've heard this before, you know, bitterness is really the poison that you drink and you hope that it kills someone else. Like, it really is hurting you, and it's hurting your relationship with God. A scripture that I know it's convicting, but I know it's perfect for this, is Hebrews 12 and verse 14, starting in verse 14. It says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. And so it's that root that grows. It grows. And right now that root is, and think about a root, right? It goes deep.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it goes deep is because this is a man you loved. You were vulnerable and you opened up a very vulnerable part of your heart. And so that love was deep, and then he hurt you and betrayed that. So now that root is buried in there deeply. But if you don't take it out, you know, it's like a deep weed. If you don't remove it, if you don't deal with it, it's like cancer. It's just going to spread.
Yeah.
And it's going to, and you're going to become a very bittered woman.
Yeah.
And you know what? If Jesus was able to be on the cross after everything we've done, because we've all sinned and you've done things that are horrific in the eyes of God. And if he's able to look at you and say, God, forgive them, for Crystal doesn't know what she does, for forgive her. I mean, if God is willing to forgive you, then how can we think we're better than God?
Right.
I mean,
right.
He'll forgive anything. So forgiveness also doesn't mean reconciliation. I mean, you got to guard your heart, but but you can't walk around bitter, you know, and you're going to have to really pray to God and maybe even spend some time fasting. Like, God, help me to remove this bitter root, because it will defile you.
Yeah, yeah.
And it will ruin you.
Yeah, I can't even, I mean, I try to pray and, you know, say I forgive him and wish the best for him, but I can tell it's not sincere because I start tripping over my words.
Mm.
You know
what's really helpful and has helped me? Read through the Psalms. The psalmist, whether it was David or one of the other psalmists, many of those prayers, there's 150 of them, many of them are honest with God. Like, I think sometimes we think we got to be so, you know, holier than thou. Mm-hmm. And the Psalms are so honest. It's okay for you to say something to God. Now, between you and God. And say, God, I feel like I hate this man. I feel bitter. I feel this. As long as in that prayer, you get resolved.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? You know, like, you can say that, but by the end of that prayer, you're saying, but God, you know, help me and let me have a change of heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it might take a lot of, you know, tears and getting on your knees. You know, Jesus, mm-hmm. before he was resolved about, you know, Jesus didn't have sin, but before he got his heart to align with God's mission, which was to die for our sin, the Bible says that he had to go and pray three different times. And so I believe that there are some prayers that we don't stop. We don't get up from our knees until we get up resolved.
Mm-hmm.
And Crystal, it might take many hours of prayers and tears for your heart to change. But I tell you, if you keep pleading to God to change you, to get rid of that bitterness, I mean, don't you think God will answer that prayer? I mean, God loves us, but yeah. He wants you to wrestle in prayer to be righteous. And you know what? One day that would be an amazing testimony, because once you're free and you're not bitter anymore, mm-hmm. I mean, you can look at it and you can say, listen, I don't need to be in a relationship with you because that's toxic, but mm-hmm. I don't feel bitter. Do you have children together?
Oh, no. Okay. We got married late in life. He has children by his first wife, and I had children.
And you know why I mentioned that, too? Because sometimes it gets more complicated, and when someone's bitter, they start pulling the children away from their father or their mother, you know, and mm-hmm. and that does even more harm. But either right. way, between you and God, you know where your heart is, and you got to get it right. Get rid of that bitter root.
Now, let me just, you know, I don't want to take up a lot of time, but my spirit keeps telling me to write a letter. Okay. Whether I mail it or not, just write a letter saying I forgive him.
So write the letter. Write it. Don't think about what you're going to do with it right now. Just write it. That is, and you know, sometimes the best way to express yourself is to write it down. You know, it's some deep water. So as you start writing, you yourself might be surprised. And you know what? That's actually a great idea, because when God gets rid of that bitterness, you go back and read this a year or two or 10 years later, and you're like, wow, I was in a really dark place. I'm so grateful that I'm not there anymore. And you might even want to get some people's opinion. Like, how does this sound? Because, you know, our words, you know, the Bible does say very clearly that the out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So our words, you know, we can try to sound nice, but it's going to come out what's in there. So get it out. Absolutely. Now, whether you send it to him or not, that's something you pray about later. Right. Write it. If the Spirit's telling you to write it, listen, write it.
Yeah. Because I don't, you know, I want to write it. Part of me want to send it to him, but the pride.
Don't decide that yet, though. Write it first.
Yeah.
Write it and then pray about it and ask God for clarity. But until, let me tell you this, don't give it to him until you get rid of that bitterness. So if you decide to ever give it to him, it's after you're resolved.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay. Well, and what was that, Hebrews what?
Hebrews 12, 14 uh-huh. and 15.
Verse 15?
14 and 15.
Okay. Thank y'all very much.
No problem, Crystal. God bless. Yes. Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right. Bye-bye. Take care.
Awesome.
If you're just tuning in, it's Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We're talking about being beyond the heart when following your heart goes wrong, so mm-hmm. to speak. So we're receiving your questions and your comments at
855.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness.
454-5905. Hey, it happens to all of us.
855-454-5905. I can't get my words together, so I'm going to be quiet, and let's let Sheila
talk. Well, we're going to bring Sheila back. Sheila had called earlier, but yes. I do want to encourage us. We have a few minutes left, really about 10 minutes, a little bit over 10 minutes. Yeah. So I want to encourage you, if you've not yet called and you're on the fence, you may be, you know, we might have time for one or two. Yep. More callers. So let's go back to Sheila, who actually wants to clarify something mm-hmm. She said earlier when she called. So good morning, Sheila. Welcome back.
Hello.
First, I want to say I thank you for the forgiveness that you just offered Tiffany.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and me calling back, I need your forgiveness, too, because there was a couple of things that I said that I just wanted to kind of clarify, because I want people to know the truth. The first thing that when I was able, I mentioned about saying that God has said no, my mother, my pastor and all that. When I was able to accept no, even though I'm married and God told me not to, when I was
Sheila, hold, let me put you out, stop you just for a minute. It just dawned on me. Some people might just be tuning in. If you're tuning in, Sheila called back before and her story was pretty amazing. But God made it really clear and had said no to a relationship that she ended up marrying anyway. And then later regretted it and realized, you know, he really wasn't who he appeared to be. So, you know, just some lessons learned. So your clarification is, you're saying when God was saying no to you, you said?
Yeah, when God said no to me, and like I said, my mother had already said no, my pastor, my sister, and mm-hmm. a friend of mine. And when I was able to say no in the marriage, after I sat and I saw why, even though a lot of them weren't able to explain mm-hmm. what they felt, you know, their experience for anything.
Sure.
In the relationship, I was able to see why they were saying no, and I just got quiet because I made a mistake.
And so when I was able to accept no, God allowed him, like I said, we got in an argument and God allowed the divorce. Okay.
Sure, the truth
but
came out and he divorced you.
That this man, and this is like one of the worst things, this man was molesting our youngest daughter, our youngest daughter, since a toddler. I caught wind of it when she was about 2 years old, up until maybe she was like 12. And when I had him investigated when she was two, and you know, it came back that they couldn't tell either way. He brought that to court later on with his visitations. And, you know, he used it like to say, I'm just trying to keep him from his children. Okay, but anyhow, my third point was this. Later on, I mean, as far as like the believing and an unbelieving person.
Okay.
In the Bible, it says that when a person is married already and they become a Christian later and they already marry, what I said about the believer not being able to get a divorce, it goes with that situation. However, there's another situation where you are a believer and you marry out of disobedience.
I understand what you were saying. You're talking about the Ezra scripture,
right,
about
Ezra,
okay,
9
you
and 10,
and then you realize
there.
But here's the reality. You make a vow. God takes vows very seriously. And this is where I think what happens to Sheila. I think people end up marrying someone they're not equally yoked, which is what 2 Corinthians talks about. So they might say they're a believer, but in your mind, you're like, wait a minute. They go to church. They say they read their Bible, but I see the fruit. They really don't. I mean, you're around someone long enough, you know how they live, unless they're trying to deceive you. But if they're being themselves, you're like, wait a minute. This person is, you know, you could try to lie to yourself and say they're a believer, but you're like, they don't have much belief. You know, and so
the deficit comes in, though. This person that, you know, didn't have mommy or didn't have daddy, they
have
that deficit. That's what I talked about being
absolutely
lopsided in our development. That's when that part comes, and Satan plays on that. But as far as staying married to an unbeliever that you had married when you were a believer, Ezra 9 and 10 makes it clear that God has made a way of escape. Now, like Marcos, I told you that I was homicidal in a relationship. This man start to hit me. I became homicidal. I had changed. My relationship with God had changed. It's like I was going down. In that case, think about it. Adam and Eve, God had made a vow with them too. He was married to them like he's married to the church today. When Adam and Eve sinned, for whatever reason, when Adam and Eve sinned, God made a way of escape.
Oh,
if
yes,
God
yes,
would allow
yes,
them to
yes.
Continue in that way.
But Sheila,
no
very simple.
And that's the same thing with a person making a mistake and marrying an unbeliever.
I hear you. I hear you.
Ezra 9 and
10. I understand. But Sheila, let me just clarify this for all our listeners. Number one, we don't condone divorce. Now, does God allow it in certain circumstances? Yes. The Ezra scripture, it's really hard to go to an Old Testament scripture and say this applies today because that's the Old Covenant. However, 1 Corinthians 7 makes it real clear, and I'll just say this. Anybody can divorce, but according to 1 Corinthians 7, if it's not for infidelity, then you are to remain unmarried unless you reconcile. So God always gives you a way out. There's always a way out. But here's the kicker. I think sometimes we treat divorce as, oh, it didn't work out. I'm just going to go find someone else. God says, no, marriage is so sacred that you work it out. But if you can't for some reason, and it's not infidelity, then this is what happens. You can divorce. Just remember, you're not to remarry. That's what the scriptures say. Now, I think your case is a little different, right? Because he was unfaithful. I mean, even the molestation. I mean, he totally broke the covenant of the marriage. So you have more than enough reason, biblical reasons to stand on. So this doesn't apply to you. But if someone that feels stuck, I just, for the record, I want to say this clearly. Again, we don't condone divorce, but if you feel like I absolutely cannot live in this situation, I'm being abused, I got to get out, then get out. 1 Corinthians 7, Paul says you can. You go ahead. But just realize that that doesn't mean you can go and find someone else and marry them. All right? But Sheila, we thank you. This is great stuff. Great conversation. I think we lost you.
Oh, no.
We lost Sheila. But all right, well.
You lost me?
Yeah, no, yeah. We hear you now. But I want to say thank you because you bring up a very good point.
And, you're welcome. Thank you.
And we're praying for you. And look,
sure.
This is some, heavy stuff that, you know, heavy price to pay.
Lord bless, though. He helped me to get over
it.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. We'll be praying for you.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right.
All right. Take care.
That's heavy, though. You know, I think sometimes we don't realize the consequences of our sin when we don't listen to God. And I think her story is heavy because she felt like God just made it really clear. Mm-hmm. It was no, and she still did it. And we didn't know this from her earlier call. We didn't know about her husband molesting her child. Mm-hmm. And I think, man, especially, I would say, listen to God and whatever he makes clear. But especially if you have children, single mothers, you don't just bring anyone home. I mean, you got to be sure. I heard something once, and I can't say I totally disagree with it. I heard in some instances, I agree with this, that sometimes it's better for you to make sure you raise your children first and make sure they're out of the house before you even consider remarriage. Now, I know that sounds like a heavy price to pay. And if God sends you someone and he makes it absolutely clear that that's the one, then, you know, don't ignore what God says. But don't be looking for a new relationship if God has allowed you to raise your kids. You understand? And,
right.
And I think, you know, every situation is different. So I'm not going to make one blanket comment about it. Yeah. But I do think we need to proceed with a lot of caution and a lot of faith.
Absolutely.
Let's continue. I think we got time for one quick call, from California.
One. Yeah. So we have Roxanne calling in from California. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. Roxanne, we want to apologize before we even talk to you because we literally just have 2 minutes left on our program.
Okay.
So go ahead, please. What's your comment or question? Just have to make it quick.
Quick question. I've been married for 16 years. My husband moved out. We've been still trying to work on our marriage, but he's constantly unfaithful to me many, many times. And I just want to know, he's still cheating right now while he's moved out. A lot of lies and secrets. And I just wanted to know, is this something I should try to stay in and work on? Or should I just leave him and go on my way?
Well, what do you want to do, first of all? What's your heart telling you? What's God speaking
to you? I would like to save my marriage, but I'm constantly finding out that he's being unfaithful. Even while we're trying to work on things, he's still cheating.
Yeah. And you know what I think, Roxanne? It's not you. And I know that sounds like a cliche, too. It's like it's not you, you know. It's you, it's not me. But I think that you can do everything you can. It's like God with us, right? God loves us. He's faithful. But if we're not willing to come to him and surrender, then we can't have a relationship. And it doesn't change God's love for us. And I think in this case, this doesn't change your love for your husband, but it does change the commitment he's able to make. You're not willing to share him with anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same way Jesus is with us. He's like, listen, I want you to have this relationship, but I want you to know I'm not going to share you with anyone else. God is a jealous God. And when it comes to marriage, it's a commitment that you expect. And if he can't commit and do his part, his end of the bargain, then there's no bargain. There's no deal. And so my encouragement to you would be like, listen, move forward. Let him go. The Bible says hand the man over to Satan. Hopefully he comes back humble and figures out the error of his ways. But until he does and he has that true godly sorrow we talked about from 2 Corinthians 7, then you're only going to set yourself up to lose.
Okay.
Because he's not showing you any signs of repentance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Makes sense?
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll be praying for you. Thank you so much. Calling from California.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
All right. We're out of time.
Again.
This is great. Well, we will be back next week. So you could always go to praisephilly.com, listen to any of our archive shows, including this one. We'll be up in a little bit. And we encourage you, listen. Stay connected with us. Follow us, you know, on Twitter, on Facebook. We definitely want to be in touch during the week, but we will be back next Saturday morning.
And with that said, we want to say thank you to our producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week. We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.